Okay. Father, just thank you so much for your great blessing of your church today. The body of Christ, this local body called Cottonwood. Just so grateful for the gifts and the talents, or just the gifts that you've given to us. You being the head, we being the body. And so in this body, this local body, there's been hands and feet, toes and fingers, mouthpieces, listeners, ears, eyes, voices. We're just so grateful for that. We're so grateful for the history of this church. Just grateful, Father, for how you brought us together in this day. As we come to a close of 2014, as we move into 2015 as a church body, and the things that you might have for us, the things that you might lead us to. I thank you, Father, today for Jesus. 2,000 years ago, you became flesh, you dwelt among us, they beheld your glory. Glory full of grace and truth. 2,000 years later, we as a church body get to experience and witness the same glory, the same truth. I thank you that we serve a risen Savior today. We serve a God who came. Who came. And we're just so grateful, Lord, that you came. And Lord, we're so grateful that in the way you explained it is that the Father sent the Son. And I pray that we would truly be a church that reflects that. A sent people, sent by God to share life with the world. Whether it's our neighbor next door, across the street, across the pasture, or maybe a state line or a border, or even an ocean. Oh God, what could you do because of Christmas, of you coming into our lives and our hearts? I thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I pray that, I thank you that you've promised that it would never return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire in time and place. And there's a time here and there's a place here. And as we open scripture, that Father, that I really believe, we believe that you've come to speak to us. You've come to show us great and mighty things. And although this story is familiar, I pray that you'd show us things that we know not yet. And that you'd move us to places that we aren't yet. And that we'd be so faithful to believe the word and respond to the word like never before. Thank you. May this Christmas message, this Christmas season, absolutely, totally transform us as a church body. I pray for those that are listening, Lord, live streaming right now, perhaps folks in Pakistan, Turkey, Lord, just around, folks that are sick in our body that have come and have watching us online and participating. I pray you'd bless all those today that are with us via live streaming. Come, Father, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll turn to the very familiar passage of Scripture, Luke. Luke chapter 1. We're going to be beginning in verse 26. I don't know about you, but I like my iPhone. I just like it. I like the idea that you get to take pictures of it, right? On my iPhone is my album of pictures. Well, actually, I have three iPhones that are good, that are out of date. And so those are now my picture albums. You know, it's a phone. The first iPhone I got, the second one, and now this one, right? That's our albums now. But you can go into your closets and you can find, or places, and you can find lots of photo albums. We're a picture-taking people. We love to take pictures. We love to take snapshots, right? And now we have people who like to take snapshots of their food and send it, right? Some of you are guilty of that, right? So, just what we're eating right now, this moment, right? Snapshots. I want to suggest to you that the Christmas story is a series of snapshots. If a picture paints a thousand words, as someone's once said in a song that's made that saying popular, these stories and these writings, these scriptures paint these wonderful paintings, these wonderful pictures of who God is. And the word is filled with pictures. It's if your Bible was illustrated and illustrated by God's hand, I mean, what a marvel it would be, right? To see the snapshots of the Christian life, the snapshots of Christmas, the snapshots of Easter. And what I would suggest to you that over these next couple of minutes is that I want to share with you three snapshots of Christmas. And how these snapshots are not just to be looked at and adored, but they're to be lived out. Because our God has spoken to us through Jesus Christ and through His Word, and through that Word has given us principles to live by. Not in guilt, not for salvation, not because we're trying so hard to prove, to be approved by God, but principles of life that God says, these are the principles that work. These are the principles of the kingdom of God. Follow these principles by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll find a life fulfilling. Not a life easy sometimes, maybe a life hard, difficult, but you'll find life in this Word. You'll find life in these principles. So I want us to look at the first snapshot of Christmas. I want to suggest to you that the first snapshot that we're going to talk about today is what I'm calling the snapshot of Christmas faith. Christmas faith. And really, just as all that means is that Christmas faith means that there was a young virgin who was visited by God, and God gave her a very impossible word, and she believed the word. She believed it. And so this snapshot is Christmas faith, Christmas belief. Mary believing an impossible word. Verse 26 of chapter 1. Now in the sixth month of, remember last week we looked at Elizabeth and how she was with child in her old age. Remember the angel came to Zacharias and said, really gave her an impossible word. The impossible word that he gave to Zacharias after, remember, 400 years of silence, that God comes along and sends his angel Gabriel to this old man in the temple performing duty, saying, hey, your prayer's been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son in her old age. Impossible promise. Impossible word. Well, she becomes pregnant in her old age. Because I want to say this, what God says he'll do, he'll do. Do you believe that? What God says he'll do, he'll do. That is the whole message of Christmas. It's God speaking. It's God appearing. It's God promising when he comes. And he promised this old couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, this old priestly couple, that their prayers have been heard from years gone by, that she and her barrenness, she and her old age, will now have a womb that'll open and she'll have a son. And so in the sixth month of her pregnancy, that's what this says, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel, the angel sent from God, was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, there's so much in this passage. Nazareth, I'm just going to tell you, is not a significant place. In the eyes, in the hearts of Israel, it's not a significant place. It's not any place that they would think that anything significant would ever happen, because nothing in Nazareth ever significantly happened. Matter of fact, when Jesus called his disciples, one disciple said, "What, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That's the attitude. But here she is, she's living in Nazareth, and she's engaged. She's engaged to a man whose name is Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, I want to say something, a little bit about her character here. The word favored is where we get our word grace. Let me tell you, if you've got God's grace in your life, if God's grace is moving in your heart, in your life is being changed. There is power coming out of your life if you're under grace. That's just the bottom line. Grace is not just unmerited favor that gets you, lets you do what you want to do. No, grace is the power of God. And he comes along and says, "You're favored. You've got grace all over you." Matter of fact, not only do you have the grace of God on you, you have the presence of God in you. You're favored. You've got God's grace. And God's presence is in your life. Now, I want to tell you this, believe this all my heart. I believe that about us. I believe that about every one of you who have called on the name of Jesus. You are favored. You are full of grace, God's grace. And that happened when you believed the impossible promise that Jesus would come to save you and deliver you and pull you from the pit and make a way for you to go, to make a way for you to have relationship with Jesus. Grace, presence of God. But I'm afraid that the church has not thought of that in the heat of the moment. We forget that we're full of grace. And this grace empowers us to live rightly and sensibly and godly in this present age, according to Titus chapter 2. This grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire. Let me tell you, when the angel comes to Mary and says, you're full of grace, I'm telling you, she's living life the way God has intended for her to live. That's a life under grace. That is a life under grace. A life under grace is not having a bumper sticker, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I guarantee you, when my daughters started dating, I would not want a guy to come to my door with a t-shirt that said, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Would you? No. It implies something different sometimes. That we are full of grace, we're full of the power of God. And God has declared us something better. We're children of the King, children of the Lord. We are His, and we belong to Him. And I want to say this, I believe all my heart, she's living like it. Is she perfect? No, she's not perfect. She is not perfect. She's a human being chosen by God. Is she sinful? Yes, she's sinful, just like all of us. We're sinful. We mess up. I want to tell you, the overarching declaration of heaven to this virgin woman, young woman, is you are a favorite of God, and God is with you. Listen, if there's anything that I would say to you today, as you move from this place in just a few minutes, would you believe, if you're in Christ, that you've got God's grace all over you, and that God's not only favored you, but He's living in you, and you have the presence of the Holy Spirit of the living God in your life. Amen. That's Christmas faith. This is Christmas faith. This is believing. It's because you know what? Without that, it's utterly impossible for me to live it. It's utter impossible for me to walk this out. And that's why we fail walking it out. It's because we're not thinking right. We're not believing. You're full of grace. Got the presence of God all over us. Start speaking that in your life. Start speaking that in your marriage, in your ministry. Because I know that there's times we go through life and it's hard. And what comes out of our mouth are negative things and things that aren't true and untrue things. But let's speak the truth. Mary's special? Yes, she's special. But so are you. God has purpose just for you, just as God has had this purpose for Mary from the foundation of the world. Hail, favored one. Greetings. And she's perplexed, the Bible says. And she's wondering, well, what kind of salutation is this? And in verse 30, the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, because you have found grace with God. You have favor of God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Savior. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his David, and Father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And then Mary says to the angel, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? How can this be? Now, do you remember when Zechariah said what he said? He made a statement when he said that your wife's going to have this baby. Listen, I'm old. She's old. He literally said, there's no way. His was a statement of unbelief. Hers is a statement of faith. I can imagine her thinking, as a virgin daughter of Israel, and walking in the purity of the law and the purity of the word, and how God designed it to be for every one of us in this world, that she's saying, how's this going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. And guess what? I'm going to remain a virgin. So how are you going to do it? That's what she's asking. Do you know it's okay to ask God, hey, God, how are you going to do it? Do you know it's okay to ask God, hey, God, what are you up to? Is it okay to ask God, hey, God, what's up next? Hey, God, why is that happening in my life? What's going on in my life? You know, there's some people who say you can never question God. And I want to tell you, there's a right way to question God. And that's just to ask Him a simple question. What's going on? Why is it? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? What is next? What is next? Show us what's next. She's just asking a question. I'm a virgin. I'm going to continue to be a virgin. So how are you going to do this. This is not a statement of unbelief. When the Word of God comes to her, she believes it. She believes this impossible promise. And guess what Scripture does? Takes a picture of it and shows us. An impossible promise from human standpoint that God's going to make true. She believed it. An impossible promise that God has promised that He is going to make do. He is going to do it in our lives. That's the promise here. And she believes. She believes it. And you know, I love what the angel says. When he says this wonderful thing in verse 37. Let's look at verse 35. I'll show you how he's going to do it. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And listen to this. Even your cousin, your relative Elizabeth, she's conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, you know what I love about this? And I love about just kind of knowing just a little bit of the original language or getting to learn it and find out that the real literal word in here is not nothing. It's from two words. The first word is no, N-O, and the second word is word. There's two words in the New Testament for word. One is rhema, and one is logos. And this is what he says. He says, for no rhema, no word will be impossible for God. No word. If God speaks an impossible word to you, let me tell you, no word will be impossible. He will do it. He will do this word. He will do this work. And I want you to hear me, church. All he's asking you to do right now is believe his word. It's so hard for people to believe that God would save them. It's an impossibility. But if they listen to the word, they'd hear the rhema, they'd hear God speak to them, they would hear it and embrace it, that yeah, it's impossible to earn your salvation. It's impossible to be right with God on your own. You need this Savior, and He's come, and it is an impossible word, but God comes along and says, listen, that word's not going to be impossible for me. I'm going to save you, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to take you out of the pit. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's in Romans 8, 28. I want you to turn there real quickly because this is Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, it's our future. It's what God tells us He's going to do in our lives. Romans 8, 28 through 29. A lot of us know Romans 8, 28. In the trade, we call it a refrigerator verse. Y'all know what a refrigerator verse is, right? It's a verse that, man, means a lot to you. You put it on the refrigerator so you can always see it, right? So it's a refrigerator verse. But what we need to do is we need to put Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30 on our refrigerator. Because he tells us all the good. He explains to us what all the good is that he's doing in our lives in the midst of trial and struggle. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who are loving God, to those who have been called according to his purpose. Yeah, refrigerator verse is a great verse. We quote it all the time. We take great comfort in it, and you should take great comfort in it. Because God does take everything in your life, everything, all things. If you love God, you're called according to His purpose. Everything that has happened in your life this year, good, bad, ugly, hard, difficult, God comes along and says, I'm going to make it for my good. You're good. But notice what the good is. And for he whom he foreknew, he predestined to become, watch, conformed to his image. Okay? To the image of his son. So that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he called. And these whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, watch this, he also glorified. What a great promise. You mean to tell me that as I walk in Jesus and I become like him, that my temper becomes less and less. My impatience becomes less and less. Look at me. Yes. From glory to glory. Like we spoke earlier. Yes. It's a part of maturing and becoming complete in Christ. There's the expectation that the way I live today, I'm not going to be living tomorrow or next week or next year. That God's come to take care of these things in our lives. It's from glory to glory. It's the salvation message. It's the whole package. It's the whole package of grace. And I don't know about you, but I love the thought that when Jesus comes in, things begin to change. Don't you? I mean, what kind of good news is it that Jesus comes in your life and you never change? And you never have freedom. And you never have victory. And you never triumph. I mean, keep on reading in Romans 8 and says, listen, in all the things... Well, let's just read it. I know we're running a little late. And I've got two more snapshots. Okay? Yeah. Keep on reading it. What shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who's against us? Listen, he gave us his only son. How much more will he not give with us, freely give us all things? And he says, who will separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. In all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We triumph. Triumph. No word will be impossible. What a snapshot. What a thing to tuck in your heart, written on your heart, pictured on your heart, pictured in your life, to know that Jesus comes to do the impossible. And that's to cause you to become like him, to respond like him. Not react like we've always reacted, but to respond in him. It's the first snapshot of Christmas. Christmas faith. Let me tell you about the second one. The second one is Christmas courage. Christmas courage. Go to Matthew chapter 1, if you would. Matthew chapter 1. So you got Elizabeth over here, okay? I'm not Elizabeth, then you got Mary. God's speaking to her, okay? And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. Okay? And she's betrothed to Joseph. And I'm going to tell you, betrothal is a legal thing. That's when it's a done deal. Okay? Marriage is arranged. Agreement's made. The dowry's paid. And it's a sealed deal. Matter of fact, to go against that, you're gonna go to the court for divorce. Okay? So you got Joseph over here. Okay? They're probably not living together. Well, they're not living together, that's for sure. But they're probably not. Maybe they're living kind of in a different place. It's a really, Jewish wedding is a really beautiful picture of who God is and as Jesus is as the husband and we as the bride, but that's another story. But think about this poor guy. All his hopes, all his dreams, and he has whispers that she's pregnant. And there's one thing he knows, he's not the daddy. One thing he knows, he's not the daddy. And the Bible says that when he found word that she was with child, verse 19, talk about character, Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Let me ask you a question. How can you disgrace a grace person like God? You can't! Can't disgrace, you can't, you don't have the power to do that. Don't. And you try all you want. And somebody can be in your life and try all they want to disgrace you. But I would tell you, you're a man of grace, woman of grace, like we talked about ago. Nobody can disgrace you. Nobody can separate you. Nobody can take it away from you. So this is a very righteous man. He's planning to send her away secretly. Now, you know, what I just said, let me just tell you, in Jewish law, she could be stoned, okay? And that's what he's talking about. When he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Here's another word, another promise. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She's going to bear a son, and you are going to call his name Jesus. Jesus literally means Savior, right? Deliverer. For he will deliver, save his people from his sin. And all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now watch this, verse 24. And Joseph awoke from his sleep. I want you to notice what he did. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Christmas courage. Let me tell you what Christmas courage is. It's hearing God and you know you've heard him. And you get up and you do exactly what God's asked you to do. Now listen, this is not works again. This is just initial obedience to God, to the principles to live by. And sometimes when we obey, it doesn't make sense what he's asked us to do. Does it make sense to forgive a killer that killed somebody in your family? That makes sense. That makes sense. Does it make sense that God would forgive you for being a part of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Don't make sense. You know, whatever God asks us to do, it doesn't make sense to forgive. It doesn't make sense to let go of bitterness in our flesh. It doesn't make sense to be givers, to give that 10%. And that makes sense in our minds. And we can go on and on and on about the principles to live by and to live in. I tell you, you know me, when I'm 15, it doesn't make sense that I can preach or I can pretend to preach. I couldn't speak my way out of a paper bag publicly. That makes sense. That makes sense for a church in the middle of nowhere to adopt an unreached people group over in China. That makes sense. And for 15 years, seeing God work. It doesn't make sense to have peace in the midst of chaos. It doesn't make sense in so many ways. But all I'm saying is, your pastor, and I'm saying this to me as well, listen, when God asks us to do something, let's just do it. And that's what Joseph did. That's Christmas courage. Even when it doesn't make sense, we obey. We move with him. We move with God in whatever he's calling us to. That's the snapshot of grace. It's the snapshot of Christmas. It's why Jesus came. He's coming to give you the power to do with the impossible thing which you can never do on your own. That's why he sends the Holy Spirit, living God. We believe, we trust, and we obey. Why? Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Amen? Amen. Third snapshot on the screen. Let's watch this clip. Christmas worship. Supposed to be sound.
Out of Israel.
I'm coming! Oh, son. Thanks be to God.
King of his people. What is his name?
Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Christmas worship. Scripture says that after coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Believe like Mary. Obey like Joseph. And worship like that. Worship like that. Not on a Sunday, but on a Monday morning, afternoon, evening. The Bible says to offer your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. This is your reasonable service of worship. I offer my body as a living and holy sacrifice. I lay down my life and I give him my best. Not just during a season, but day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Worship like that. And guess what happens? We become part of the snapshot. We're in the picture. We're in the picture. We're in the picture. Ushers, come forward for the morning offering. And we'll pray over this and then we'll take offering. Okay. What I love about offering, we have the opportunity to bring our first and our best. And my prayer is that we would do just that. You don't have a mic. Okay.